afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Friday, August 25th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
TGIF. This month, it's almost Christmas. Do you believe that?
You're beginning to smell almost Christmas. Are you out doing your Christmas shopping already?
No, but let me be the very first one to wish you a Merry Christmas this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now wait. Is this for this year or for last year?
I'm not
sure.
Are
you the first one for this year or the last one for last year?
Everybody knows time is going by so quickly. It's just, I'm just flabbergasted by how quick it goes by. And so anyway, even our programs go by so quick.
See how the time flies.
Well, the time sort of flew for gold today. Maybe the price did anyway. You have gold at $5.90 today at $1,292, almost $1,293. Silver's up 11 cents today at $17.16. Platinum was down to $980, and palladium was down 5 at $931. The USDX today, it was down big, 0.77 at 92.52, breaking down through that 93 level. And oil was up 0.47 at 47.90. Can't believe oil was only up 47 cents, considering you have the Hurricane Harvey that is barreling down on the Gulf. And certainly that is the nerve center of America's energy infrastructure. And the biggest risk is that the Category 3 storm, or the potential of a Category 3 storm, could cause prolonged disruptions to the critical refineries along the Texas Gulf Coast. Now, with an increase of 47 cents today, it tells me the market doesn't seem too concerned about it. By early Friday, warnings of life-threatening rain from Hurricane Harvey have forced the evacuation and the shutdown of several refineries. Gasoline prices are poised to rise steadily higher depending on the severity of the damage and the length of outages. So not only will the storm limit the Gulf Coast's ability to refine oil, but it's already shut down the flow of oil shipments in and out of the port of Corpus Christi. And, of course, that is the nation's leading port for crude oil exports. They're actually saying John LaRue, executive director of Port of Corpus Christi, told this reporter, "We may have never had a storm like this." So, I mean, there's been some pretty severe storms going through that Gulf, particularly about 10 years ago. There was a bunch of them going through, several of them when we had Katrina and so forth. That might be a little bit longer than 10 years, but they have been preparing all week for the storm. Pilots stopped boarding vessels. I saw a headline now. I wouldn't want to be on a cruise. There's like, I can't recall the number of cruise ships that are in the Gulf that are, you know, getting racked by, you know, this hurt. That would be nasty to be on a cruise ship. What a way for a vacation. But to meet America's enormous appetite for oil, more than 3 million barrels of waterborne crude gets shipped to the U.S. Gulf each day from Mexico, Colombia, Saudi Arabia. We export about 1 million barrels of crude oil each day. So, that can prove to be a little bit of an interesting event, and we certainly could see higher oil prices, and I think we'll see higher gasoline prices, although I would assume temporary. Anyway, so our thoughts and prayers for those who are in Texas. We have many listeners, and I have clients in that area. So be safe. And don't take risks. You know, your lives are much more important than sometimes what people take risks for. So, and I think we're going to get, I don't know, depending on where that storm gets, depending on the direction that it goes, I don't know if you'll get any of that from Hurricane Harvey.
We'll get some rain, but it won't be anything significant. And in fact, I don't know what Harvey's going to do, but it's allegedly going to come on shore and it's going to sit there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll
35 inches of rain.
I understand. A friend of mine lives in a home down there, a house down there that was built. It's north of Houston, but it was actually built at a place whose elevation is below sea level. I understand. That's the sort of thing where, oh my gosh, she's cut out. She's going to some friend's home and rest, that sort of thing. But
well, my cousin's
a house below sea level, and they're coming in with 25, 35 inches of rain.
Yeah. My cousin lives below sea level. They live right on the beach, right. You know, behind the beach and the boardwalk, and when you stand it there in the street, you actually have to look up to see the ocean.
It's just that's like, bizarre.
It is. And when you, and during Hurricane Sandy, they didn't evacuate because when Sandy came through, it was actually low tide that hit this area. Now, if it was high tide, it would have been something totally different. And they did have water come down their street and everything, but their houses, you know, it's still built up, you know, so the water can run under through if there is flooding and so forth. But they were out. What actually saved a lot of the flooding for their local little area is my cousin and his sons. They were out in the street clearing out the drainage, because what happens is you get so much of the, you know, debris goes into the sewer lines and the drainage that it backs up and it floods. So they were out there during Hurricane Sandy, you know, freeing the debris. So they worked hard in there. But yeah, it is bizarre because, when you stand there, you kind of have to look up. I mean, you don't have to look up, but, you know, you can tell that you're below the water. So it is kind of freaky. But something else freaky today, the White House has announced today that President Trump has signed an executive order imposing new sanctions on Venezuela, Al.
No. Well, that's what they need. It'll teach them a lesson, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know where this is coming from. The action bars U.S. citizens and banks from buying new bonds from the government or its state oil company, Petróleos de Venezuela, or PDVSA. The order also limits the trading of some existing bonds that are owned by Venezuela's public sector. We will not stand by as Venezuela crumbles, the White House said in a statement.
We just won't help them.
The Treasury Department, that's what I mean. The Treasury Department has already issued a wide range of sanctions against the president and his associates after he moved to consolidate the power in July.
You're talking about the president of Venezuela.
Correct, Maduro. Okay. Shortly thereafter, the U.S. Treasury Department froze all of Maduro's assets, subject to U.S. jurisdictions, and prohibited all U.S. citizens from dealing with him. Now, the goal of today's sanctions was to protect the U.S. financial system, which I thought is an interesting way to word things, from complicity in Venezuela's corruption and in the impoverishment of the Venezuela people. Haven't we already been involved?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's just like, okay, let's continue and see what else it talks about. We already know the shortages and the shortages of food and medicine for 30 million people. This is actually the fourth round of sanctions that the government has enacted against Venezuela.
Well, let me ask you this. When they say that we can't buy Venezuelan bonds, does that only apply to government bonds, or does it apply to Venezuelan business bonds?
You cannot buy from the oil company bonds. But let me...
So in theory, that's preventing people today from taking advantage of Venezuela's desperation and trying to clean up. I mean, that would be one way to look at it, perhaps.
The order also limits the trading of some existing bonds that are owned by Venezuela's public sector.
Okay.
So they're putting the clamp down. But, hey, there's always exemptions, right? And this is just what...
Only for rich people, though. It's not... Poor people,
or
we don't have any exemptions
Sachs.
For them. But, yeah, for rich people, yes, of course.
And you have to know... Let me talk more a little bit about this. Earlier this month, one bank, Credit Suisse, banned its bond traders from buying two specific Venezuela bonds from the government. That's Credit Suisse. But the move came after Goldman Sachs was criticized for buying Venezuelan government bonds back in May. Now, here we go. Under the executive order, the Treasury Department can still issue waivers to allow some bond transactions to proceed. Well, gee, Mr. Mnuchin and Goldman Sachs, we're still going to let you to allow some of those bond transactions to proceed. Transactions only involving Citgo Petroleum, which is a U.S. subsidiary of Venezuela's PDVSA, are specifically exempt. So they are exempt, if I'm reading this right, from the sanctions. And this group donated $500,000 to the president's inauguration committee in December.
Which group did?
What I'm getting this is that the U.S. subsidiary, Citgo Petroleum. So
we can trade Citgo bonds if we want to.
Or Citgo can trade the Venezuela bonds. We can't, but the Citgo can. It's from...
See, and this is equal opportunity for all, Melody. If you'd given the president $500,000, you could trade those bonds too.
I mean, it's just, you know, Goldman's, you know, and I, you know, the Mr. Trump also said that on August 11th, Mr. Trump told reporters that military recourse in Venezuela is on the table. We have many options for Venezuela, and by the way, I'm not going to rule out a military option. However, the president's national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, said at a briefing today that the president has asked him to evaluate all options, anticipating further deterioration of the situation, but he did walk back on military action. He says no military actions are anticipated in the future. So, you know.
That's the solution for all problems. Got any problems? Invade. Go to war. That's all. We don't need diplomats or free markets or anything. All we need is bigger and better airplanes, tanks, bombs. I mean, sometimes I don't even know. It's just these people. Don't we have enough trouble as it is? Let's suppose we're doing the right thing. We're going to invade Venezuela. We're going to get rid of Maduro. We're going to install some sort of free market economy. Let the Venezuelan people be freed from leftist politics, and they can start making money again and be happy. How long do we have to stay there and supervise that circus? And do we have the resources to do it? You know, I mean, good Lord. Didn't we learn anything out of Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan? Step in, you know, you go in, you're going to give them shock and awe. You're going to be there for the next decade. Do we want to do that? Do we have the resources to do it? I don't know. And buy all the trouble. Let's get rid of Maduro and we'll take on the trouble. I don't.
You know, it's just another case out where they just strip a country. They go in there, they strip it. Venezuela still has some gold. They can probably still pay their debt until the end of the year. And I mean,
that's more than we can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we should have Venezuela invade the United States.
So, and Brazil has already said you better not mess with Venezuela. So, I mean, I think that was just big words coming out of Mr. Trump, and I don't think they would use any military. But who knows? You just don't know. It would be stupid.
Stupid remark.
Yes, it would be
stupid remark. Yep. We may nuke them, you know. Well, I'm just saying, it's on the table, Melody. I'm not saying we're going to do it, but we could. Same thing with Mexico and Colombia. Anybody else who gets it, they'll just bomb them, nuke them, whatever. Keep the options open. Sometimes, you know, particularly in the way this country is at the moment, people really do need to learn to speak with little discretion. you can infuriate other people inadvertently, unintentionally. But there are some things that you can advocate, you can talk about, and all of a sudden people are ready to, the bullets are ready to start flying past your head. It's like, what did I say? What did I say? I don't know. Trump, that's an idea that that's an idea I have. And it's apparently an idea that's foreign to the Trump administration, the idea that you use a little discretion.
We truly are living in a world where we, one word could just push us into World War III. I mean, I think the world, not just here, but I think everywhere is like that. There's just so much, I don't know what you want to, everybody's on the edge of their chairs. It's almost like everybody's just waiting for this thing to happen. And when you're waiting, you know what? It is going to happen. It will happen. We don't know what, but something is coming, and it isn't going to be very pleasant. And, it is like once you get the domino, once you get that one bad thing happen, seems like everything else just falls apart and cascades into, you know, multiple situations, and things just continue to get worse and worse and out of control. But this week they had today, Janet Yellen was at Jackson Hole in Wyoming. You had the meetings there, the central bankers and, you know, every other multinational corporation. They all get together and who knows what they do, but, you know, they try to figure out how they're going to rule the world. And, you know, she made some statements, and this, it wasn't her statements that I found interesting, but, you know, she says that, you know, she's going to defend the regulations that were in place by the previous administration, and she doesn't think that this administration, Mr. Trump's, she doesn't agree with his position. And the congressional Republicans, that the regulatory burden is strangling lending and has hamstrung the economy. So most likely, you know, her job is she will be replaced next year. And this article talks about who's going to replace her. And everybody first thought that Gary Cohen, Trump's chief economic advisor, would. He was the favorite to become the next chair. But supposedly, when Charlotte bills happened, he had actually drafted a letter of resignation and then changed his mind, decided to stay on afterwards. But former Fed Governor Mark Olson has urged Cohen not to accept the Fed job if Trump offers it to him. He might be one of the top financial market analysts in the world, but he's a beginner at monetary policy, and you cannot come in as the chair of the Fed as a beginner and not understand the way monetary policy works.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting idea, because I'd like to know who really does understand how debt-based monetary
system. A lot of them
system.
Do understand, because they know how to manipulate. We'll have to talk about it when we get back from break.
All right, we'll take a break, couple of commercials. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to finish up on this, and I thought that was an interesting comment from this Mark Olson, former Fed governor, that doesn't want Cohen to accept the Fed job if Trump offers it to him, the replacement for Janet Yellen. And it kind of makes me wonder that this Fed governor must not think much of the Goldman Sachs alumni to have the smarts to run the Federal Reserve. And he goes on and talks about that the last time that a quote-unquote beginner ran the Fed was G. William Miller. He was an investment banker, same as Cohen, appointed to the post by Jimmy Carter. And Miller led the Fed for a little more than a year in the late 70s, and it did not go well. And, of course, we did go into, you know, those, you know, high interest rates, 20-plus rates and so forth shortly there. You know, it was a very difficult time.
We also just began basically in 71 with a pure fiat currency.
Yes.
And Miller was not the first guy to deal with that pure fiat currency. But the implication when they're saying, oh, you're stupid, you don't know how to run the monetary system, you're just, I don't know, is Miller a billionaire or anything like that? Or Cohen, excuse me?
Well, probably. He's close. I mean,
he's a billionaire.
He's a Goldman Sachs alumni.
Well, he's got to be a multimillionaire anyway.
Absolutely.
He might be a billionaire. And I say, oh, no, you're too dumb. What that tells me is the monetary system is a racket.
Yep.
And they're afraid this guy will come in and try to run it on the basis of the free market. Now, I'd say, well, this is what we should do under the free market. And if we do, the whole thing's going to probably blow up. We talk about a beginner. You might also say, and I'm not going to argue that someone coming out of Wall Street is necessarily an honest man, but it's not impossible. All right. I don't know what the reason is for being, say, keep this guy Cohen away. How could a man who's made at least, has become a multimillionaire at least, and maybe a billionaire, how could he be too dumb to participate in managing the Federal Reserve? How could he be any dumber than Yellen, any dumber than Bernanke? I don't know. This is just something very suspicious about that. Oh, you're not qualified.
You're a beginner.
Qualified, yeah. The only people who are qualified are people who are sanctioned by the Federal Reserve itself. You know, if the Federal Reserve was not being operated either as a racket or a cult or a secret society, it should be possible for anybody to essentially step in the door and they say, okay, here's the light switch, here's the computer switch, here's the mouse and the keyboard and the rest of that sort of thing. Got it? Yeah, got it. Okay, take over. What is so secretive that a multimillionaire and or billionaire isn't sufficiently knowledgeable to operate? You would suppose that under standard economic theories, anyone who knew, if you understood economics, you'd take an economics 102 or 203 or whatever, you would have enough where you can say, okay, you know, this is what we've got to do to create inflation, eliminate deflation, to do whatever we got. That should be fairly standard knowledge. And yet they're saying this guy doesn't have it. I don't know. It just makes me suspicious. They're up to something, and this to me is just evidence of that. And he doesn't know the secret handshake.
All right?
Neither do I, of course, but that's the deal. If you don't know the secret handshake, don't apply.
Or maybe he's buddies with them and he doesn't want them in the position when it all collapses. Well, you don't want to go in there.
Yeah, you don't want to get blamed.
You don't want to get blamed for this.
Yeah, right.
You know? You know, so because they're all together. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting comment. And but we'll see if it is offered to Cohen. And I mean, everybody was anticipating it until Charlottesville happened, and he was looking to resign. So, but
it's like joining the mafia. Once you're in, you're in.
You can't make
you
this
can't
stuff
leave from here.
You can't make this stuff up anymore.
You know, I had an uncle who was—he was an organized crime. He was actually my stepfather's uncle. I called him uncle, but he was an organized crime. He was, and he was the president of a major corporation whose name I will not say. All right, who built a hotel in Las Vegas, and they'd notify him. They'd say, Earl, his first name was Earl, says, you got to get out of the country. The Senate's having an investigation. We want you offshore where you can't be subpoenaed. And he'd go to Cuba. This was back in the 50s and 60s. I don't know what the point of this was exactly, but it crossed my mind. I don't know. It was a strange situation. A lot of money to be made, but you had to get out of sight when you had to get out of sight. Something got me off on that.
Maybe it was a warning to Cohen then. You don't want the job.
Oh, yeah, that was the point to it. He started out collecting money from slot machines and cigarette machines and vending machines, the coins. That's where he started out after World War II. He worked his way up to where he was in charge of all the slot machines, vending machines, cigarette machines, jukeboxes in Cook County in northern Illinois. Mm-hmm. This was an enormous, I don't know, enormous business. And I don't know, I'm sure he went from nothing to something extraordinary, became president of the corporation. There came a time in life when Uncle Earl wanted to retire. That's what got me off on this. And people running the mafia, essentially, said, no, Earl, we still need you. Stick around for another year or two. And he stuck around for another year or two and tried to retire. And they wouldn't let him go, and they wouldn't let him go. And finally, he had a stroke. All right? And after he had a stroke, they let him go. They let him retire. And I saw him last time I saw him. He was with his wife walking in Chicago. She was helping him walk and the rest, that sort of thing. And I don't know. It was just, what got me going, we said, you joking that you can't quit this racket. Once you join in, it's like the mafia, you can't quit. Uncle Earl couldn't quit.
I dated a mob guy in Philly.
In my very young days,
it would be interesting because, I mean, we went to the best restaurants in Philly, and I mean, I really did learn a lot. But I remember we'd be in a restaurant or something, and you know, his counterparts would come in, and they always made me go powder my nose because they didn't want me around as they were talking business and so forth. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was exciting for a young girl. I didn't know how dangerous it was. I mean, I was real young. I was in 20, 21, and but it was exciting. Some of the best restaurants in Philadelphia, and best places to go. And it always they used to have little speakeasies at night. You know, the bars would close, 1 o'clock or something like that. And they'd have this little panel that they would open up to see who you were, to see if they knew you, and you were able to come in. And I mean, it was very, and that's where you'd see the mayor. that's where you would see. Big, business people and so forth. That's where they went when everything else closed, and probably did most of their big deals and so forth. But anyway, it was exciting for a young girl. But glad I didn't, stay and so forth. But anyway, we have going to continue with the little package we have today. 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles, one of those, $25 face value of 90% silver. And I think you all heard me say gold was up today, silver's up today, $485 for the package. It includes your shipping costs. So you can call us at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, you know, I think after Labor Day, I don't know why I have this feeling, and, you know, maybe I'll write it on my calendar, Alfred, to see if my intuition, I think after Labor Day, I think we're going to see a lot of things get interesting. And
well,
I don't think it's
interesting. I mean, you know, it seems like it used to be.
Not just interesting. I'm talking interesting.
Weird. No. It's gone beyond interesting to weird.
To the bizarre.
Right. This but, is beyond interesting.
No, I mean, everybody, I think things are going to change very quickly after Labor Day.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the U.S. dollar index. We have talked about it on the program where they seemed to be holding that 93 level for last 2 weeks anyway, maybe longer than that, I don't recall clearly, but we'd get down maybe close to 93 on the U.S. dollar index and pop back up. Down close, pop back up, pop back up. It looked like they had, I don't know it to be true, but it looked as if the powers that be had established 93. We're not going below 93, and here we are. We're at 92.56, right? We are significantly below 93, and we'll know better come Monday. We'll take a look and see what happens on Monday. Maybe it pops back up to 93.50 or something like that. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see if that's going to happen or if it's going to fall even further. And I don't think this is insignificant. I think this signals...
This was a big drop today.
I think, yeah, and below that 93 lay. There's something... Somebody's either given up on trying to control it or they've lost capacity to control it. But this was a significant drop from my perspective.
You know, I don't know if any other countries have put Venezuela on sanctions and so forth, but I think that's a big deal. And so you have little things that are going on that can certainly impact why, you know, people don't want to, you know, have the dollar anymore and see pressure on the dollar and people going into other currencies and so forth. So, I mean, that could, so we'll wait and see if this isn't just a blurb. You know, just a knee-jerk reaction to something, or if this is the beginning of a new trend to the next leg downward. And but again, do I think we'll see 103 again? Absolutely not. But you know, I heard discussions on Europe though today. They were complaining about how their euro was beginning to strengthen a little more. And I don't think I gave the euro. I don't think I gave the euro price today. Only that it was up. Are we into 119? The euro is 119, and that was up 1.06 on the euro. So the euro certainly outdid more to the upside than the dollar to the downside. So 1.06 positive at 119 on the euro. So hang on, folks.
Well, September is usually a bear month. In fact, on average, it's the most bearish month of the year for stocks. Isn't that true, Melody, or do you know?
August and September. You'll have a lot of, you know, I hear argument, oh, August is the most volatile. Oh, September is the most volatile. But yet October was when you had the biggest stock market crashes. But for the month in general, August and September are usually your most volatile. Yes, absolutely.
Which indicates that we should be getting pretty close to, you know, a bumpy ride.
Well, you know, if this hurricane strikes, you know, Texas to the degree that they're predicting, and, you know, they're going to have to start discussing the debt ceiling. And, yes, we all believe that, you know, they're going to pass it. And it's a matter of whether they're going to pass a, you know, pass it without anything attached to it, or they attach that to something else. We'll have to see how they work it, but it's crazy, and I wouldn't want to have money in the markets. I wouldn't want to have any paper investment. That's what people don't understand. You can pull your money out of your paper investments, protect it, and then you can go back in. You know, it's just not a one-time thing that you're going to pull in, where you're going to, you know, take your profits out of the paper market and never go back in. Well, that's not true. Oh, you can go back in, but why wouldn't you protect what you've already earned and made and profited from if you are?
Because I mean, you're afraid that if you jump out now, you're going to miss something. That's
what
exactly
are you going
right.
to miss?
You might not be invited to the party.
There's far more.
Going to a party and they're not inviting you.
There's much more downside potential on the paper markets than there is to the upside.
Here's one that's got some downside potential. Here's a head. This is from SF Gate, that's San Francisco Gate publication. Cyber bank robbers stick up Ethereum owners for $225 million. This isn't a single robbery. This is how much they've stolen so far this year. It says, here's another reason to be leery of initial coin offerings being done at a staggering pace by cryptocurrency world. There's a 1 in 10 chance that you'll be a victim of theft. Phishing scams have helped push up criminal losses to about $225 million this year, according to Chain Analysis, a New York firm that analyzes transactions and provides anti-money laundering software. In such scams, investors are tricked into sending money to internet addresses pretending to be funding sites for digital token offerings related to the Ethereum blockchain technology. More than 30,000 people have fallen prey to Ethereum-related cybercrime, losing an average of $7,500 each. With initial coin offerings amassing about $1.6 billion proceeds this year. Well, the point behind this is there are we've talked about this a number of times on the program. Again, a month ago or thereabouts, I was surprised. I believe it was Cliff High, who said there were something like 450 different cryptocurrencies in the world at that point. And more recently, I've heard from one source that there's over 1,000. They're coming up with a new cryptocurrency almost on a daily basis, and people are getting into it. You start a new cryptocurrency, you sell it initially for fractions of a cent a piece. People get in hoping that it'll take off like Bitcoin, and the next thing you know, the cryptocurrency is maybe making a lot of money. Maybe not, watch and see, but it's just irrational. Everybody's jumping in on this. Well, I'm not. Melody's not, but you understand what I'm saying. There are hundreds of entities trying to start their own cryptocurrency. You know they've got to be nonsensical. They can't all offer something legitimate and new. All right? Why do you want one instead of the other? Because it's blue instead of red? This is dangerous stuff. Don't want to store your money in digital form unless you absolutely have to. We're going to take a break because we absolutely have to. We'll be back after a couple of commercials on financial survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article here from Business Insider. Headline is, traders are bailing from U.S. stocks. Traders are dumping U.S. stocks to a degree not seen in 13 years. They've pulled money out of U.S. equity funds for 10 straight weeks, the longest such stretch since 2004. But that's not to say that investors are giving up on stocks entirely. Global equities saw a $3.1 billion inflow this past week, suggesting that traders may be pulling money out of the U.S. and relocating it internationally. This is what we're talking about here, is the phenomenon known as rats leaving a sinking ship, or we might be. We'll watch and see. That they're electing to do so, that is to say, take their money out of the U.S. stock market, isn't surprising, considering that the Federal Reserve is in a tightening mode as other central banks around the world remain accommodative by comparison. But it does signal a creeping lack of confidence in the future of the U.S. stock market, one that could be facing a crippling earnings growth slowdown. I don't know, Melody, do they have earning growth slowdowns in markets where the reason of prices went up is because the corporations were able to borrow money at zero interest and buy their own stocks? As earnings, are they just now slowing down, or have they ever speeded up in the first place?
Well, I think it really depends on, you know, personally, I think how the valued with the currency changes and so forth. You can get earning increases, and then they just lie. They just lie. You know, they all beat the street expectations, because expectations are set so low. And but certainly I do believe, you know, it's, you know, a lot of those stock prices are based, as what you said, the corporations are borrowing money, and that's why they talk about the $2 trillion that are sitting offshore from these corporations. Well, yeah, they're borrowing money to buy back their shares, to keep their prices high. If they bring the $2 trillion back into the States, what do you think they're going to do with it? They've done it before. You know, the government gets them to repatriate that money back into the States, and what do? They continue buying their shares. Now what? They have debt to pay off. You know, they went in, they have loans, they have debt now, so they can pay off their debt. You know, so particularly if our dollar is going lower. So,
we've got a little more on this article. It says the trend for tech stocks is also looking bleak. Funds tracking that sector saw $600 million of outflows this past week, the most in almost a year. That comes just 2 weeks after investors dropped more than $1 billion in tech stocks, the biggest offloading since January of 2016. So they have lost $1.6 billion out of tech stocks in the last 3 weeks or thereabouts. Well, doesn't prove anything exactly, but it is a leaf in the breeze. And you've got to consider it if you are investing in the stock market. It's the sort of thing you want to sit back and say, is this a sign, Melody, that maybe it's time to get, or is it just a bump in the road?
Oh, I definitely think it's a sign to get.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you. I think it probably is, too. What else? Here's one for talk about people that are... I'm trying to think of the black guy that got beat up by the cops back.
Rodney.
Yeah, Rodney King. Why can't we all just get along?
Get along.
Yeah. Well, here's reason why. Here's something from The Independent. The headline is, Trump advisor Roger Stone warns any politician who votes to impeach Trump would endanger their own life. It seems that we have a greater capacity for hyperbole than we do for simply telling the truth or trying to calm situations. One of Donald Trump's closest advisors has warned a bloody civil war would erupt if the U.S. president was impeached. Roger Stone predicted, quote, an insurrection like you've never seen, unquote, if politicians sought to remove the U.S. leader from the White House, and claimed that any politician who voted to topple him would be endangering his own life. Now, that's how you put oil on the water, Melody. You threaten to get people killed. All right? That calms everybody down. And if Rodney was here, why can't we all get along? Well, partly because some of us can't shut our mouths. That's part of the reason. Support for Trump's removal from office has risen to 40% among the American public, according to a poll by Public Religion Research Institute earlier this month. But Mr. Stone, a long-term Trump confidant and former official in Richard Nixon's administration, suggested impeachment proceedings would lead to an armed uprising among the president's supporters. I don't know if that's true. I can understand that the leftists are crazy enough
to
have an armed uprising, but I don't know that Trump supporters, they'd complain about it. But, I mean, this would really be, this would be a newsworthy event if Trump supporters started behaving as thuggishly as the people on the left have been doing lately. If that broke out, it would be evidence that maybe this is on. There's going to be a real fight here before this is done, and it's going to be violent. It's going to be something that'll be difficult for anyone to survive. Well, I don't know about survive, but it'll be difficult for anyone to avoid. Try to impeach him. There's Roger Stone again. He says, try to impeach him. Just try it. You will have a spasm of violence in this country, an insurrection like you've never seen. The people will not stand for impeachment. A politician that votes for it would be endangering his own life. Again, repeating himself. I don't know, Melody. Does this bode well? Is this just, can we write this off as just another idiot politician, official, wealthy guy, can't shut his mouth? Or is this...
You know what? I really don't know what.
More dangerous.
I really don't know what would happen, but the fact is, they really don't have anything to impeach him on. And if they go after his mental, Mr. Trump's mental status and so forth, where there's a lot of discussions on that and so forth, I just don't think it's as, you know, I just don't think it's that easy. I mean, they throw the word around, they throw the proceedings around, and, you know, whatever they're trying to accomplish, maybe to try to garner some support and so forth. But I just don't think it's as easy and as, you know, what the Democrats will, you know, want everyone to believe. But I don't know what happened. I don't know what would happen if they started the impeachment proceedings. I'd like to think that if they did start, that there'd be some way to stop them, you know, prior
well,
to getting to the violence.
I believe they need two-thirds of the Senate.
Yeah, so you need people need to get on their phones and say, hey.
Guilty. The impeachment process begins when someone is merely accused, officially accused. The impeachment begins, but it's only a process. It's like trying someone for murder, all right? Just because you've been accused, just because you've been indicted, doesn't mean you're guilty. And it doesn't mean that all 12 jurors are going to vote to find you guilty. You're in trouble. You got a problem. That's true. But you need two-thirds of the Senate, which is dominated by Republicans. They'd have to have, I mean, Republicans who would vote against Trump had better be very secure in their positions. In their political positions, because they're going to get voted out of office. And as nutty as everything is becoming, it's not just a question of being voted out of office. Here we have a guy named Roger Stone says you're likely to get shot. All right? You're endangering your own life. I guarantee that comment, you know, it may be ridiculous, but we live at a time when some senators sit back and say, you know, that guy might have a point. I think it's all crazy, but he might have a point. So I'm just going to let it go rather than having to duck bullets coming from Trump supporters. I think I'm just going to let Trump stay in the White House, and he can do whatever he wants to do. And if the whole thing blows up, without him being impeached, fine. I'm just going to let it go. But I'm not going to take responsibility for running Trump out of office, because who knows what kind of crazy people are out there right now. You know, I had meetings here in Dallas for a group called Citizens for Legal Reform. Started up in the 1980s and went on through, even in, I think the last ones we had were about 2002. We lasted for probably 12, 14 years, something along those lines. And it is strange. I mean, it taught me something. We were a small operation. I think the biggest we ever got, we had like 800 people came to one of our meetings one time. We averaged about 325. It was one of the biggest meetings in the country for that genre. But matter of fact, it probably was the biggest in the country for that genre. But it wasn't enormous. We didn't fill, you know, football stadiums or something like that. But it was surprising how you could attract the attention of people who were mentally unbalanced. And I'm sure that every congressman and senator and president, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They may not talk about it themselves, but they get it. I particularly remember a woman who was a couple of years older than me. And she had a crush on me. All right? And she was intelligent. She was good looking. All right? But she was mad as a March hare. I had people come up to me and tell me, and I was the guy that ran the meetings and stood behind the podium and said, here's our next guest speaker, so-and-so, and introduced people and delivered some speeches myself and the rest of that sort of thing. I had people come up to tell me that this woman was packing a gun in her purse coming to the meetings. And, of course, this is Texas. Probably nothing remarkable about that. But she was telling people that I was raping her psychically every morning. I was zooming over in the netherworld. You understand? And I was raping her, and she was allegedly angry. And the whole thing is crazy. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I can remember doing the meetings and standing up behind the podium, and she would always sit right in the front row to my right-hand side. She was always there, not 15 foot away from me. And I had to wonder how good a shot is she? All right? And although I was looking through the audience, I was looking left and right, up and down, rest, that sort of thing, my mind was, if I wasn't looking at her, I was still focused on her. I was watching her out of the corner of my eye when I was looking at someone else, and it was unnerving. She was a citizen of Austria, and she got crosswise with the government. In fact, she was one of the few people in our group who were smart enough to sue the government and probably collect some money on it. And what the government did is they deported her back to Austria. And I can guarantee you, I don't like to see the government deporting people, but in this particular instance, I was glad. I think I don't know what would have happened if she hadn't been deported. But my point is, there are crazy people running around here, and I'm sure every senator and congressman knows that. And when you go up to shake one of their politicians' hand, I'm going to make you a bet that part of their mind every single time, they're smiling and they're going to say, hey, how's the wife and kids and the rest of that? They're looking to see if you're packing a gun. They're looking to see, are you the one that's going to take a shot at them? And they're thinking which way they're going to move, left, right, what are they going to do? We live in that kind of world right now. And I'm going to be surprised if anyone's able to impeach Mr. Trump if they're without being afraid. What about the lunatic fringe? Because it's getting bigger. The fringe is becoming more predominant than it has been in the past. It's not just a handful of people. It would be like me going to the meeting and not just one woman in the audience who wants to shoot me. There might be, you know, half a dozen people who want to shoot me. It's a strange situation when you take a public persona. So, Melody, did you want to say anything else about...
No, I wasn't quite sure.
Hurricane Harvey?
I really wasn't sure where you were going with that one.
I'm just saying, look, the race is crazy. And people know it. People in positions of power know it. You know, Roger Stone makes them crazy. We were talking about this last week. We had some government official, I don't remember who it was, he was warning that I think it was Paul Craig Roberts.
Was that Roger Stone that was saying that?
That's Roger Stone.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Roger Stone.
I don't care. He gets press. What can I say?
I know he does, and I don't know why.
I don't either. I have no idea. People, maybe it's because somebody does radio programs.
Oh, good grief! A car mows down 5 children and 2 adults in Pennsylvania. You have. All of a sudden, you have Buckingham Palace on lockdown. Man with a sword attacks 2 police officers in front of tourists. You have soldiers in Brussels attacked by machete-wielding man. Good grief.
Curious,
the world is
insane,
isn't it?
And it's getting more on a rapid basis. We're out of time. We are going to be back here on Monday. We hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, have a good weekend, and may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.